Welcome back to Season 11, Episode 28 of the Ubuntu Podcast. In this episode, we're going to discuss Chromium OS and have a command line love. I'm going to go over your feedback as well. I'm Alan, and joining me this week are people who can speak properly. Hello, Mark.
Hello, I know words.
Good, well done. And Martin. Hello.
Hello.
I can't hear Mark. Martin.
What?
I'm here.
It's
all fine.
Mark.
Hello.
What have you been up to?
I have been playing Two Point Hospital.
What's that then?
It's a game.
Oh.
So the first question is this a Linux native game or is this a Proton game?
This is a newly released game which is native on Linux as well as the other platforms, and I bought about 2 days after it was released, which is unusual for me.
I am, of course, feigning ignorance. I know exactly what this game is, and I want it. This is the spiritual successor to
Theme Hospital.
Yes. Has it got bloaty head disease?
It's got a whole new range of diseases. It's basically, it's got the same kind of, like, you know, the point of view and the things you build in the hospital are basically the same. Like, there's a lot to sort of, you know, even like the different items which you put in the rooms, a lot of them are the same thing that you had in Theme Hospital, but it's in proper 3D, and there's a lot more mechanics around in terms of like leveling up your staff and things like that, and there's a whole new array of interesting and amusing puns for conditions that your patients have.
I've watched the trailer for it a couple of times, and it looks like it struck the same kind of humor level that the original Theme Hospital had.
Yes, I think it has the same producer and art director who worked at Bullfrog, who made the original Theme Hospital. So,
and was this a crowdfunder?
I don't think it was, but I could be wrong there.
Okay, and it's like £20-25 or something like that?
Yeah, and I've been playing it mercilessly ever since it was released, so I've definitely got my value there.
Brilliant.
Huh.
It's really good fun. And the sense of humor, it's got the silly hospital announcer receptionist saying silly things to you. And it's also got like catchy get stuck in your head background music. And they've also chucked in some sort of, it's done like you're listening to the local radio station. So it's got some silly radio announcers in.
Like a hospital radio kind of.
Yeah.
So in the original Theme Hospital, you'd like build up your hospital and then you'd hit a certain goal and then you'd wipe that hospital and you'd start a new one. You get moved to a new hospital and it's a whole new thing. This one, I understand, doesn't do that, right?
You understand incorrectly.
No, but in this one, you can still go back to your old hospital.
Oh, yes. Yes. So you have like an empire of hospitals. So you have to reach a certain goal to get your 1-star rating on your hospital, and then you unlock the next hospital. But you can go back and try and make it 3 stars. And even then you can carry on forever if you want to on the same hospital.
Nice. Would you recommend this to other people who enjoyed the original Theme Hospital or even those who didn't?
Yes. If you like any kind of like sim type game with a sense of humor, if you like, things like RimWorld, it's got the same kind of gameplay mechanics as that. And if you liked the original Theme Hospital, it's just brilliant.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's get on with it. So last week we learned that Martin has started appearing on other podcasts, and this week I understand you've been installing other operating systems.
I have.
What is this lunacy?
So I've been experimenting with Chromium OS. So
what is Chromium OS?
So Chromium OS is to Chromebooks what Chromium is to the Google Chrome browser. So Chromium OS is an open source implementation of the Google Chrome operating system that some people and organizations build so that you can install it on hardware of your own. So that's what it is.
So basically it's a Chromebook without the Chromebook.
Yes, it's a Chromebook without the actual authenticated hardware.
It's a Linux distribution where the interface is Chromium.
Yes, it is ultimately a Linux-based operating system.
Now, I've seen there have been people who've created these for years. There's been various Hexer, I think, was one guy who made them a long while ago. But they were never really super popular. But it seems like there's proper corporate backing behind this now.
Yeah, so there's three that I'm aware of at the moment. And the first one that I've been aware of for some time, because I used Hexe's build back in the day, you know, years and years ago. In fact, I even remember at one point compiling and building my own Chromium OS about 8 years or so ago.
That sounds fun.
It is an interesting experiment, but then you soon get bored of that and you want to find somebody who's doing that hard work for you. And Hexe was one of the original people. But there's a website, Arnold the Bat, and he maintains Chromium OS builds. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that I was most familiar with. And that's the one that I started by installing. So the reason I did all of this is back in 2015, 2016, I had a Pixelbook. And ultimately ended up selling it after not having it more than, I don't know, 8 months or so.
So a Pixelbook is like a high-end Chromebook, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, it was a Chromebook and it was Google's blessed version. Right. And the hardware was gorgeous, but it was just simply too limited in many ways, mostly the storage. It only had 32 gigs of storage. Mm-hmm. But recently I've heard lots of chatter from people who are getting excited about this new technology called Christini, which is integrated into Chrome OS. And that is a means of creating a container that you can install Linux applications in, so you can run your favorite Linux applications on Chrome OS. And there's all sorts of chatter saying, you know, well, I could switch from Mac OS to this, now it can run Linux applications, or I could switch from Windows to Chrome OS now that it can run Linux applications. So I was wondering,
who are these lunatics? This chatter, where is this chatter? Is it at a bus stop?
On Twitter, the internet. This is chatter on the internet.
That's the internet's bus stop, Twitter.
Yes,
it really is.
Yeah. But, you know, and I was like, well, let's try this theory out. So I decided to tip it on its head, and I decided to install Chrome OS on a high-end Ultrabook that was designed to run Ubuntu.
Right. So this is to see if you can switch from Linux to Chrome OS. Chrome OS can run Linux applications.
Yes.
Now it can run all those Linux apps that you couldn't run on Ubuntu.
This is it, right? I think the argument is ridiculous, and I just wanted to test how ridiculous is the argument. Right. So I started by downloading Chromium OS from Arnold the Bat's website, and he makes a vanilla build and what he also calls special builds. And TLDR is, you want the special builds.
Of course.
Okay. What's special about the special builds?
I always want the special
builds. Well, they're special. So they come out when there's a stable release of Chromium OS. And they have some extra bits baked in. So they have Google Drive support, the enterprise enrollment stuff, which is the Google centralized management stuff that schools love. Mm-hmm. It's got improved wireless device support, additional Linux firmware support, a newer kernel, improved webcam and graphics card support, and it does OTA updates as well. So once you've installed this, when the next build comes out, you'll automatically get those updates. So,
and are you getting those updates from Arnold the Bat?
Yes, you are. He operates his own update servers, yeah.
So these are not coming from Chrome upstream.
No, this is not an official Chrome. This is a community-maintained Chromium OS distribution.
Right. Gotcha. And it's like CentOS to Red Hat.
Yes.
Right. And some of these additions, it sounds like these might be some proprietary things on top of the open source upstream. Would that be accurate?
That's correct.
Right.
Yes. Yes. So the enterprise enrollment stuff, as far as I'm aware, is some of it's just kernel stuff, you know, that in Chrome OS, they only ship the kernel bits and pieces that are specific to those devices that you know, version ships on, whereas this is made to be more general purpose to have broader hardware compatibility.
But even with special builds, there's bits missing, right?
Yes, there are, as it happens. And I didn't appreciate that till I installed it. So once you download the image, it's a bit like installing a Linux distro. You get this, you know, image, and that needs to be deposited on a USB stick using something like, you know, GNOME Disks, Restore Image, or DD, or Etcher, any of those tools. And once you've got your bootable USB stick, you can boot off the USB and it will boot into a live running version of the OS. So you can actually test it out and make sure all of your hardware works, you know, all your Wi-Fi and everything. So you can check that it works before you actually install it. And in Arnold the Bat's version, there is a thing in the menus to install to the hard disk. And that works just fine. And I did that and it detected how big the disk was and it made use of all of the disk space. But then I discovered there are a few bits that weren't available in Arnold's builds, which were, there's Android support. So some Chromebooks can run some Android applications now.
Right.
And that's not currently available in Arnold's builds. It's in the menus, but if you try and execute it, it fails. And that's a work in progress that they're working towards at the moment. And there's no Crostini support, which was
a bit of a letdown.
The very thing I was looking for. And I also discovered there's no support for the Widevine DRM modules either. So you can't watch Netflix or Amazon Prime or anything like that.
Okay, so this would be okay if it was like an educational establishment.
Absolutely.
Or a small club or something that wanted a bunch of old laptops to slap Chromium OS on and use the browser and use the kind of Chrome experience, but they don't really care about Android and they don't really want to install additional apps, right?
Exactly.
So what's the next level up from that?
So whilst I was doing the Arnold the Bat stuff, I found out there is another Chromium OS distribution called Cloud Ready. And this is offered by a company called Neverware, and they're a VC-backed startup. And they offer three versions of Chromium OS, a home edition, which is completely free, and two commercially supported versions, one called the Education Edition and one called the Enterprise Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And I also learned that in their Series B funding, they also have now got sponsorship from Google.
Yeah.
So Google are behind these guys.
That's interesting.
And their whole USP is they have broad hardware compatibility, and they actually list a whole list of laptops and desktops that this is guaranteed to work on. And their whole market is computers that are going out of support on lease contracts and what have you within the education market. You can now install this cloud-ready Chromium OS over the top of those machines and repurpose them. So, just like Arnold's builds, they have OTA updates and they've got broad hardware compatibility and they've got all the enhanced graphics card support. And it also doesn't work with Crostini.
This is not going well so far.
Is this something they're working on?
Yeah, it looks like it was working a couple of builds ago. And in the current build that I've got installed, the feature flag that enables it just isn't there. And if you look in their user forums, they're like, yes, we're trying to iron out the wrinkles. We'll get there soon. So they are working towards making this available. But also, interestingly, they had questions about whether they're going to add Android support. So bearing in mind, Arnold's version are working towards the Android support.
Yeah.
But Cloud Ready have said, no, we're not going to do that. For license reasons, we're just not going to touch that stuff. However, Cloud Ready's version does have an interesting feature, which is it includes VirtualBox.
Okay.
So on this one, I was able to download an ISO image of Ubuntu server, start up VirtualBox, which looks just like it would on your desktop, and install Ubuntu inside a VM inside Chrome OS.
So you've wiped Ubuntu off of this device.
Yes.
And installed an alternative operating system, and you're now running a virtualized Ubuntu on top of that operating system on the same device.
Yes.
You have too much time on your hands. So I need to move on because we haven't got a lot of time. The education and pro versions, what do they add?
They cost a little bit of money extra, but they also offer full support. And unlike Arnold's versions, all of that enterprise management stuff, the Google right. Admin Console stuff, that's only baked into the education and enterprise versions, which is fine because I don't need that at home.
What sort of pricing?
I think it's like
$15 per device annually, I'm reading here.
Right, yeah, and I think 50 for the pro version.
Yep. And then there's like a one-time fee for the management stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Anyway, the TLDR on this is that having installed this, I think I'm going to have another go at this when Christini works, but I don't get it. I don't understand why you would want to use Chrome OS and then try and run your Linux applications on that by any means, because it's a bit like picking your nose whilst wearing mittens.
Well, I can see a valid, like, definitely in the education market and
totally.
Clubs and revitalizing old laptops, because one of the things people often moan about is that, you know, we're deprecating 32-bit support and mm-hmm. A lot of Linux distributions are quite heavyweight in terms of your resources that they need. And so if someone's got a 2 gigabyte RAM kind of laptop kicking around, I doubt they'll get an awful lot running on Chrome either, because once you open a browser and visit a modern website, start opening a Google Doc, you're going to be reaching the ceiling on RAM. But I can see how it just like the Linux desktop, it is a Linux desktop. It's no different. It's just a slightly different build with like a different stack, but so it's still a Linux desktop.
I agree with that use case. If you're repurposing old hardware or specifically looking to put devices into an educational environment, then yes, it makes some sense. But I did this because of all of these people that I've seen commentating online about how, oh yeah, I could use Chrome OS now because I can install Linux apps on it. And I think that use case is mental, because if you want Linux apps, then the easier way to go is to install Ubuntu and Google Chrome and you're sorted. Because Chrome OS is not a very flexible operating system. Like, mm-hmm. for example, there's no virtual workspaces, and my whole workflow pivots around that capability. So that was really cumbersome.
But you've said to me on numerous occasions, I may have been dreaming this, but I'm pretty sure you've said to me on numerous occasions, anyone who says to you, this one thing is the thing that's stopping me switching to Linux, your reply is, no, it isn't. And I can completely see that there are people out there who say, oh, I need AutoCAD, and without AutoCAD, mm-hmm. I'm not switching to Linux. And as soon as AutoCAD comes out, well, there'll be something else, right? Mm-hmm. There's always some excuse. So I think maybe a percentage of those people who keep claiming that that's it, I'm going to switch to Chrome OS. I would argue a lot of them won't.
I think you're right.
Right. Okay.
I think you're absolutely right. But as a curiosity, Chromium OS is kind of interesting. So I installed it on a Dell XPS 13, and apart from some niggles with the trackpad, everything worked. All of the hardware features of the laptop worked correctly. And I did discover there is a third Chromium OS called Fide OS, F-Y-D-E. Now, that website's all in Chinese, so I've not had a play with that one yet because I couldn't decipher it. But there are three of these out there, and I would be fascinated to hear from any of the listeners what they make of Chrome OS in general. Have they tried Chromium OS? Are they going to try it off the back of this and take a look? And let us know what you think about it.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm keen to hear what kind of hardware people try it on as well, and see if it's actually usable on something that you might consider a lower spec laptop. I'd be interested to hear, not one of the, like, you know, bleeding edge machines that is in Martin's pile of laptops.
I can tell you one thing about Fide OS based on the pictures on the website, is that young women really enjoy using it on iPads.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent.
Right. Maybe we won't include a link to that website then.
Let's move on.
If you love the command line as much as we do, send us a command that will blow our minds, and we might even mention it on the show. Send your command line love to show@ubuntupodcast.org.
I found a command line love, and I really love it. So I'm going to share it with you.
Go on.
It's called Emu2, and it is a x86 DOS emulator. And I know what you're saying. You're saying, Alan,
it's Dropbox.
There's already DOSBox.
Not Dropbox. DOSBox.
There's already DOSBox. I can hear you. not just listeners, I can hear Mark saying it to me. Yes, DOSBox is great. I love DOSBox, and it's a really, really great application for doing full-fledged, full DOS MS-DOS machine emulation. But what EMU2 does differently is it allows you to just launch random DOS binaries directly in a terminal on Linux. There's no need to spin up an entire virtual machine. You could just directly run the executable. So, for example, if you go and happen to have the floppy disk for Quick Basic, you could just run EMU2 QB45.exe and bop, opens Quick Basic.
I'm going to go out on a limb here, and you have the floppy disk of QBasic, don't you?
I might do, yeah. I might actually have a laptop with it already on. Thanks. But yes. So I really like, I mean, it's been sat on GitHub for a while, and it's not been touched for a year. So I packaged it up as a snap, and it's now in the store. So if you snap install EMU2, it just gave me a lovely nostalgic feeling playing with things like Turbo Pascal and QuickBasic and stuff like that.
Nah, see, now Turbo Pascal is the cat's pajamas. That's piqued my interest now.
So what's the compatibility like in terms of the software it will run? Will it run any DOS thing or?
No, only command line things. Things that you would expect to see in a DOS command line window, but it does do color. So you still get the kind of blue editor screen that you used to get in MS-DOS. It's probably before your time, Mark, but.
at sixth form, we did use Turbo Pascal.
Oh, classic. It's lovely, isn't it? So yeah, have a go with EMU2. I'll be interested to hear what people get running. Obviously, you can't run graphical stuff as far as I'm aware, but I'd be interested to hear what people use EMU2 for.
Linux Tycoon?
No, it's dead, I think.
Oh.
Did you know you can come and chat with us and other listeners in between shows? Come and join us in our Telegram group at ubuntupodcast.org/telegram.
And now it is time for your wonderful, wonderful feedback. First up, Marcos Garcia emailed us show@ubuntupodcast.org.
I have a band called Vartroy. Today, it's only a music project focused on creating, recording and publishing new songs. In October from 2017, we started the creation of our new EP called Daydreams, and here the magic happens. Everything was recorded on Linux, 6 songs on Ardour and 1 song on Reaper using KDE Neon. Tuck's guitar took a very important place here too, because every song was created there. KDN Live is helping us a lot too. I'm doing all the channel videos there. We're running a crowdfunding campaign to mix and master this EP. We're not music professionals, and we'd like to leave this material in professional hands to finish the work. Everything will be available for free in 2019.
This was fantastic. I watched some of the videos. They're from Brazil, I think.
That's right.
And I watched some of the videos, and they're like, you know, mobile phone footage of them recording guitar, and then the phone pans across to the desktop where there's some Linux application, whether it's Ardour or Reaper or whatever running. It's really fantastic. I love hearing about the way people are using Linux all around the world. It's great. And the music's pretty good as well.
It is.
Simon C. emailed us.
Regarding the Proton conversation, I think it's worth remembering that Steam offers more than just games. And then he included a screenshot of the various application categories that are available in Steam. This didn't occur to me. Have either of you tried apps for Windows that are in Steam?
I haven't.
I do own a couple of applications via Steam, but I never installed them. I think I got them through a Humble Bundle. I think I've got Game Maker via Steam, but I've not tried it via Proton, but that's an excellent idea. I will give that a go.
It's a good idea.
Yuishuacamp emailed us.
With regard to your recent comments on the Linux gaming situation with Valve offering tools to get native Windows games to work on their platform, I think we're in a better state than we've ever been over the last 3 decades. I only got an email from the Humble Store about Warhammer 40k Space Marine being free for a limited time and a 50% discount on Kerbal Space Program, which I've wanted to try out for a few years but never got around to it. I was very happy to find there's a native Linux version of KSP available, and Warhammer 40k is labelled as Platinum in the YNHQ database.
Yeah, I'm feeling optimistic about this as well. I've seen a lot of comments from people saying, you know, we're in a good place, and this is a good trajectory for us, is to have more and more games available, even if they are Windows games. It's more for us. So yeah.
I've got 20 new driving games in my library as a result of this, so I'm super happy.
Someone on our Telegram channel mentioned Metal Gear Solid 5 works well under Proton, so I had and it was on special offer from Humble Bundle for £3.84 or something today, so I had to buy that. Chris Guiver emailed us.
I love the mainframe emulator discussion from your last podcast. If you think starting an emulator is too much work, you can use the ISPF-like editor on your Ubuntu desktop, tested under lots of different desktops in 1804. And there's a link in the show notes to this, which is GeoCities link. My goodness.
Does that still exist?
Well, apparently.
I don't understand what this is.
I don't either. Some kind of editor that is like a mainframe editor environment, I imagine.
Ah, nostalgic editors.
Yes.
Excellent. Nicholas, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Ing.
Ing, okay, thank you. Left a comment on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Ubuntu podcast.
Good talk on KDE. Although my daily driver is Ubuntu Mate, obvious choice, he says, it's good to hear people of KDE doing related work in helping human rights. After all, Linux is a 27-year-old project. It's about freedom, a word many people take for granted.
Yeah, absolutely. Simon Penn left a comment on our Google Plus page. We have got a Google Plus page, everyone.
I've used Android Auto, but keep on switching back to Car Dashboard, which works so much better for me. It gives more control over which apps are available and allows big shortcuts for common destinations. I also use Out Loud, which reads text and Hangout messages when I'm driving.
Ooh.
So I tried looking for Car Dashboard, but unfortunately searching for Car Dashboard on Google Play gives you various
It's actually
apps.
Car Dash Droid.
Dash Droid. That's why I didn't find it.
So there we go, listeners. It's Car Dash Droid you need to search for in the Play Store.
Under no circumstance left a comment on our subreddit, r Ubuntu Podcast.
Is it just me or are Mark's levels off? I have to faff about with the EQ in my car to lose some of the bass, otherwise he's difficult to understand with road noise going on.
Oh dear. So we should probably get a professional to do our audio.
Yes. So this was in response to Season 11, Episode 23. And as you will have heard last week, since the last four episodes, I think, Joe Ressington has kindly been taking care of our post-production. So hopefully there'll be no more faffing with your EQ levels anymore.
Mm.
Do let us know.
Feedback Loop, which is apparently a new segment that whoever created these notes put in.
That was me.
Skylead replied to Rajat's performance issues with his gaming PC on our subreddit.
The guy who asked about performance hiccups while gaming, I would have a look at the CPU performance mode. Since Ubuntu 1804 is using GNOME, the easiest method would probably be the CPU Freak GNOME extension.
Excellent. And Rajat Pandita emailed us regarding his gaming PC frame drops.
Yes, so this is the guy that contacted us originally, and he says, I have since investigated the issue in the direction you suggested on Season 11, Episode 26, and it has turned out to be a heating issue indeed. Well done, Alan.
Good guess.
I should get a job in tech support, shouldn't I?
However, it looks like Thermal D on Ubuntu 18.04 is a lot more sensitive to heat than on any other distribution. So I disabled Thermal D and can now play without any problems. I have compared the configuration file from Thermal D on Ubuntu with Solus, because I love snaps, and I see no difference. Should I log a bug report against Thermal D? I would definitely log a bug against Thermal D in Ubuntu and provide as much information as possible. And also search the bugs there. See if anyone else has already filed a bug about this. But yes, please file a bug.
If the package name is Thermal D, the quick and easy way to do that is just type Ubuntu bug space Thermal D and then press enter. And it should take you through, hopefully. And that's all of your feedback. Thanks very much. Well, that's it for episode 28. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week with more news, chat, discussion, other stuff.
Hopefully I will be at the right level.
Yeah, we're going to be out of the country next week, so we'll have stuff to talk about maybe about that.
Awesome.
Maybe.
Yes.
Oh, see you next time. Bye, everyone.